Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
To those in the sanctuary, as well as those who are joining us online via Facebook, I bring you greetings on this beautiful Lord's Day. Welcome to everyone. We have a few announcements this morning that I think all of us would be very interested in hearing. Oh, I'm sorry, we have to pass the peace first. Excuse me, where was my brain? Let us take a moment to pass the peace. And so the peace has been passed. We are now ready for our announcements. First, just a reminder that the donations for the summer mission project are due the day, those sensory items. Today would be the last day to donate those items. A couple of meetings coming up this week that you want to be mindful of. Tomorrow night, 7 p.m., will be the Outreach Commission meeting. There's also a church council meeting Thursday, 7 p.m., also on Zoom. Our new pastor candidate will be here on the 10th of August from 2 to 4 p.m. Please make sure that you come on out and greet and meet the new pastor candidate. Now, on August 11th, the following day, there will be an introductory meeting with the pastor candidate at 9:45. We're going to have worship and a sermon with our pastor candidate, Reverend Cook, at 11. And then members only, you have to be a member at Village. We will vote on calling the pastor at 12:15 p.m. So three big things happening next week: the meeting, the worship with sermon, and then of course the vote. And just a reminder, you do need to be a member to vote. Also, join the Beloved Community. I just want to shout out Renee for putting that announcement out for everyone. But the Beloved Community is inviting you to sign up to attend the Bowie Summer Sunset Concert. There will be a gospel choir singing on that day. Yes, and this is from which church? Is it Reed Temple? Yes, so there'll be a gospel choir, another kind of a form of worship, if you will. So we want to invite all of you to come out and experience that gospel performance. Informal photo directory. Catch Carlin or Dave if you haven't gotten your photo taken after church today. Bowie Pantry, there's been a shift in the donation process, so please check the Village Voice for details. That has gone out. At this time, we're going to do the call to worship. You can look in your bulletin or on the screen. I am going to read the first part, and your part is in the bold. I'm assuming we're ready, so let's get started. From God came the sustenance for people who wandered in wilderness places. From God comes Jesus Christ, the eternal bread that sustains our lives.
Christ is the bread of life.
Let us praise God for such wondrous gifts of life.
Let us sing and raise our voices in gratitude.
Amen.
Thank you. Well, good morning, Village.
Good morning.
It's good to be in God's house on God's day.
Yes.
And we welcome you as we gather together to praise God for his grace and for his love. Glad that you're here this morning. We will want to have a time of prayer. And for those who may be watching online, we're going to mute you for just a few moments as we share prayer concerns. We'll do that for the sake of privacy, but then we'll bring you right back in as we begin to pray together. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Will you bow with me? God, if anybody were to look at us just on the surface, it would appear that we are people who have really got it together. We like to think that we're okay, but truth be told, there are a lot of times when we're running on empty, a lot of times when we're hungering and thirsting for something we hope will sustain us through these times in our lives. And we confess this morning that we chase after things that disappoint and hurt, and very often we look right past the very things that will heal and cleanse our lives. So we thank you this morning that you are our bread of life, our manna from heaven, which was and is sent to feed and sustain us in and through all these difficult times and places. Lord, as we've lifted up the names of people and situations that lay heavy on our hearts today that need your healing touch, help us to remember that we stand continually in need of your healing mercies. Touch each one in their need with a measure of your love and grace and forgiveness and peace. And later on in the service, as we receive the gift of bread and cup, may we remember that it is you who nourishes us and feeds us with what we need to truly, truly live. We pray for Caleb Cook and Ariana, who are coming to be with us next week. We pray that you would grant them traveling mercies, that you would be with Caleb as he prepares his heart and mind to share a message with us. And we pray for this church that we would be open to the message that he has for us, and that we would be open to what you have in store for us in the future. We thank you for all who have come this morning. May we worship in spirit and truth, and when we leave this place, may it be with renewed commitment to serve you with all of our mind, heart, soul, and strength. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Okay, it's time for the children's story. Like that enthusiasm. Take that with you. You're going to need it. All right. What do you got? Let me see it. You got a challenge coin? Is that for me? That's a pretty good challenge coin. I think I might take that later. What's up, Faith? Yeah, we'll talk about it later. Mr. Ryan can tell you all about it in children's church. All right. This is why I don't use the handheld mic, Mr. Dave. Not very good at it, or the handless mic, but I needed it for today. What's going on there? Good to see you. All right. So I like to do the children's story. I like to brainstorm with the kids, right? And I knew I was coming up. Brainstormings, when you get your ideas together. So we always think about things that are going on and things we've been doing, and it's summertime, and we kind of had a two-way street. We could talk about the Olympics. I'm not going to, so whoever's got it next week, you can talk about the Olympics. So good. So good. Who doesn't? It's great. But there's one other thing you've been looking for. Love that. Swimming's awesome. But there's something else that I thought was even cooler that we like to do. We like to go to theme parks, amusement parks. Raise your hand if you like to go to amusement parks. Everybody is involved. All of us are children today. Heck yes. 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 Love that. Roller coasters. The first roller coaster was in Russia on a mountain. Did you know that? How about that? Who wouldn't be? Just go. Guess what? Mr. Ryan's going to let you talk about it when you get to Children's Church because we only have so much time. We got to go. But I love that you love roller coasters. So the thing we love is being prepared. And when we went to King's Dominion recently. It had this cool app. I got it all downloaded. It can tell you all the rides, tell you how long you're going to wait for the rides. It even tells you the thrill level, right? You can go from thrill one, which is like the little choo-choo train that just kind of takes you around, to five, which is like... Woo! But now that Jordan's tall enough, we went on some fives, and that was intense. But anyways, I thought we should go on a roller coaster together. Everybody on? All right. You ready? You're already got it. First, you got to put on your safety restraint. We're going to do that one that comes up here so we can go upside down. But now, come on, everybody. Everybody put it on. Put it however you want. Whatever makes you feel safer. There you go. You can do that. You can do that. We're in. Ready? Now we're going to put our hands up. That's it. Put your hands up. Everybody put your hands up. Put your hands up. All right. Now we're going to ride up the top. You know, the Ricky roller coaster. We're going up. Everybody up. We're going up. Up, 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 up. A little bit higher. A little bit higher. All right. We're going up to the top and then down. Whoa. And then now we're showing. Now we're flat. We're flat. And now we're going over to the side. Over to the side. Over to the side. Up. Over to the other side. Over to the other side. All right. Back and down. Home. Down hop. All right. Now we're going to go a little loop-de-loop. How do you want to do it? Whoa! And now we're going to the right. And then we're going to the left. And then we're going down one more big hill. And then... We made it. Please make sure to take all your belongings and enjoy the rest of your stay here at Village Baptist Church Bowie. Refreshments to follow the service. All right. Now I got to tie it into church. How am I going to tie it into church? Yes, the villains were the roller coasters. Life can sometimes be crazy, right? With the Legos, definitely. So. Life, sometimes, we don't get to choose the thrill level sometimes. I think all of us sometimes want a thrill level one, but sometimes life can be a little wild, right? We go on, we take bumps and bruises and turns. So who do you think God and Jesus is in the situation? Oh, the seatbelt! Yes! That's it! All right. I know. You got it. So, I tied it into the fact that life can be kind of crazy, can be kind of challenging. But Jesus is kind of our safety belt. It's our restraint. All right? We still, it doesn't mean we can't have fun in life. It doesn't mean it doesn't scare us. It doesn't mean that sometimes we do not want to get on that ride no matter what, but sometimes we got to get on that ride. And Jesus is there with us. And throughout the Bible, there are all sorts of verses, more than I actually even knew when I was doing some research for this, about all the ways that God and Jesus can protect us. And all the ways that we can learn to live like Jesus so that he can be there for us to help us get through life when it can be a little scary. And when things can be a little more exciting, sometimes in a good way and sometimes in a bad, we need him there for all of it. So I picked one verse to read about God. So this is from Isaiah chapter 40. It says, "Do not fear," or Isaiah chapter 41, chapter 10, verse 10. "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious hand." So we'll just use that analogy of the roller coaster, but having the safety belt, and that's like God, and that when you go to children's church and when we listen to the sermons, we can learn about all the ways that we can trust in God and know that he will be there with us on this journey, thrill ride of life. All right? Let's say a quick prayer. Dear Lord, please watch over us while our life takes us through the wilderness, the Lego villains and all. May you please be our safety restraint and make us feel as safe as possible even when life gives us a thrill ride 5, but all we wanted was a 1. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to listen to the special music, which is really going to be great. Love it when Miss Julia and Mr. Ken sing, and then you're going to go with Mr. Ryan.
God's most precious gift to each and one of us is his just amazing gift of salvation by his grace. And this is Amazing Grace. Breaks the power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger. The King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the earth in holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be so free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes us different, a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who runs the nations with truth and justice, who's with the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I will be so free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That you would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
This is amazing grace.
Today's scripture reading comes from John chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." May God give us understanding of this, his holy word.
Thank you, Karen. As I read and studied these verses this week, I couldn't help but think about food. But I pretty much think about food all the time anyway. One of the lowlights of my recent hospitalization is that I learned that I was diabetic. That came as kind of a shock. So I've been trying to learn as much about the topic as I can, as you can imagine. In fact, recently I was on a diabetes awareness website, and it asked me if I accepted cookies. Which I thought was kind of cruel. But our lives do revolve around food, don't they? And food is what we're reflecting on today, specifically bread. I want us to think about how we are very good at feeding our stomachs, but what about our souls? Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Will you bow with me in prayer? God, we come this morning. Many of us are hungry and thirsty for a word from you. And some of us come, our lives are so full that it's hard to fathom how we can take in anything else. So we pray that you would speak to all of us, that we might be strengthened and nourished by what we see and hear. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you alone are our rock and our redeemer, the same yesterday and today and forever. Amen. This reading today picks up right after the feeding of the 5,000 that we discussed last week. The people had eaten, they're full, their bellies are full. As the well-known preacher Fred Craddock puts it, happy days are here again. Messiah has come. He'll turn our nickels into dimes and make our gardens grow, find beautiful wives for our sons, and rout the Romans. So the people follow Jesus because they want more. They want more bread. They want more miracles. They want more of what Jesus has to offer, which sounds very American to me, because we always want more. And they're right to ask for more, but they don't understand really the gift that Jesus is trying to give them that will give them more. He knows that they're following because they think they can make their lives better on their terms. As my friend William Willimon says, Jesus is not a short order cook preparing food to suit our whims. He is rather the bread of life who satisfies the soul and the hungry heart. And in my opinion, hearts and souls have never been hungrier than they are today. We are bombarded day in and day out with advertising. And the main message of that advertising is this: you are not happy. And you won't be happy until you buy what we're selling. You may think that you're happy, but you're not. So place your order, get those Amazon trucks running. And then we fill our garages and our attics and our pods with a bunch of stuff. We numb ourselves with alcohol and other drugs, all to satisfy that deep emptiness that we feel inside. We make mental checklists of the things that we think will quench our thirst and satisfy our hunger. It's so easy to get diverted by the way the world seems to work. And in the process, we seem to be missing out on that which we need the most. That when we are down and out, God feeds us with hope and healing. That when we are lonely, God provides compassion and community. That when we struggle, God feeds us with meaning and dignity. Even when we're in the presence of our enemies, God sets a table of reconciliation and peace. This is the bread that endures. These are among the things that can satisfy our hunger. And when Jesus speaks to the crowd about bread, I think we all kind of assume that they understand the connection between bread for physical survival and bread that nourishes the soul. I'm not sure they do at all. While it's true that we don't live by bread alone, it's also true that we don't live very long without it. Does God care if our stomachs are full? Most assuredly, yes. We spoke last week of feeding 5,000. Clearly, Jesus worries about the physical needs of people. I suspect that those of us who have never known real hunger in our lives are at a bit of a disadvantage when we think about this passage, when it comes to understanding this lesson. And I'm passionate about this topic because feeding hungry people has been a priority in my ministry. When I was in seminary, I worked for 13 weeks down in Washington for an organization known as Bread for the World. And I've never been able to erase from my heart or my mind some of the images of that experience. To stare starvation in the face, to see what bread means to truly hungry people, is to understand a little more deeply what Jesus meant when he said, "I am the bread of life." I remember I took bread to a town home down in Washington. A woman who was in her 90s made her way down the steps. It took her almost 20 minutes to get to the bottom level. And then we walked up together back up to that third floor. And when we got there, all that was in her house was a recliner in the middle of the room. That was it. God cares about the physical needs of people. And it's part of our call to take action in that regard. Years ago, I was in North Carolina and I was going through a magazine and I saw a little ad about an organization called Stop Hunger Now. And I wondered if they had a chapter here in Washington. It turns out they did. And our church in Silver Spring took up the challenge. And over a few years' time, we provided over 100,000 meals to people who are hungry in the most critically difficult places in the world. That's where the food went. And someone once challenged me on that, wondering how effective such help could be. After all, it was just temporary. You fed them once, but what about the rest of the time? My response is, well, I like what we're doing to feed hungry people better than I like what you're not doing. Jesus is concerned about the physical needs of people. But overall, the message here is the same, that even with an abundance of physical things, we can still be hungry. What we think we want rarely satisfies. The success we crave, the wealth, the property, the stuff, won't give us any real nourishment. I knew of a woman who seemingly had it all. A beautiful home, the nicest car, everything and anything you can imagine. But one night she checked into a hotel and checked out of life, leaving behind the message, "I am so tired of clapping with one hand." You think we're any better than the people 2,000 years ago at making the connection between the bread we need for survival and the bread we need that nourishes the soul? I wonder. I remember that famous stanza of Harry Emerson Fosdick's great hymn, "God of Grace and God of Glory." It's not in our hymn book, but it should be. It says, "Cure your children's warring madness. Bend our pride to your control. Shame our wanton, selfish gladness, rich in things but poor in soul." I wonder if we're not poor in soul. We are so blessed as a nation. We have so much. We are so rich. But as Barbara Brown Taylor has said, that just makes diagnosing the source of our hunger that much more difficult. So Jesus helps us with that. He says, don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life. Spiritual nourishment is what Christ is offering. While preparing for this message, I turned to our hymnal and I looked up the hymns listed under Holy Communion. And I found these lines that keep playing in my mind. We're going to sing this hymn in just a few moments. It is a beautiful hymn. It really is. I think I've only heard it once before in a Catholic church. Well, we're not Catholic. We'll sing it anyway. But the words go, you satisfy the hungry heart with gift of finest wheat. Come give to us, O saving Lord, the bread of life to eat. And I think the spirit of those lines is captured in a little parable about a holy man who rested beneath a tree at the outskirts of a city. And one day he was interrupted by a man who ran up to him saying, the stone, please give me the stone. And the man told him about how he, in a dream, an angel had spoken to him of how he would meet a man outside the city who would give him a stone and make him rich forever. And the holy man reached into his pocket and he pulled out a large diamond. Here, he said, this is what the angel was probably speaking about. I found it on my journey. If you want it, you can have it. The diamond was as big as his fist, and it was perfect in every way. And the man marveled at its beauty, and he clutched it eagerly, and he walked away from the holy man. But that very night, he couldn't sleep. And before dawn, he woke up the holy man saying, the wealth, give me the wealth that lets you so easily let go of the diamond. My friends, there is a hunger, deeper, more fundamental to each of us than even the hunger for food. It is a hunger for love and for peace and for purpose and for meaning and for justice and for guidance, a hunger for cleansing and a hunger for wholeness and a hunger for health. As St. Augustine said, we will not find our rest until we find it in thee, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. What an outrageous claim. I am the bread of life. But it has to do with our lives, and it has to do with how we live our lives. And I have to tell you, I find true nourishment right here in this village community. Don't you? Every time we listen for God's word, or when the words of a hymn or a chorus wash over us like a wave of an ocean, he feeds me every time I hear that still small voice. Or when I'm gathered here with you, blessed by this fellowship, loving and giving and caring and growing and serving together, I'm fed when we share the bread and cup together. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I will feed your heart and soul. If you give your life to me and trust me, your life will never be without purpose or meaning or hope, because I will give you that bread that lasts forever. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Ah, my friends, to believe that in Christ we do receive the greatest blessing, that these are the most important gifts we can receive, that we're given bread for life and for life eternal. Would that we would not only believe it, but that we would go out and live it, all to God's glory and honor and praise. We're going to share the supper together. And I invite you to come to the table. I want to share our time together by telling you one brief story. When I was in junior high school, we call it middle school now. But every day after school, my friends and I would gather at one of our homes to play the game of life. You know that game? We would begin with a little car and then get married and have little pink and blue children and get a job and get promotions and inheritances. And the goal was to reach millionaire acres. And then we would cash in and see who had the most money at the end. Well, I want to suggest to you today that as we gather around this table, we are looking at the real Millionaire Acres, not as the world defines it, but as God's economy defines it. Things are different in the kingdom. This table tells us that this community of believers is important. It reminds us that here is where we find true nourishment. It reminds us that we love and serve a living Savior who walks with us day by day in the power of the Holy Spirit. It reminds us that what we really need for life, we find in Christ. That here is where we find true wealth. It reminds us that here is hope for the future, the gift of life after life. And the scripture is very simple. How do we receive this gift that God offers? Simply believe. Believe that in Christ we are given bread for life and bread for life eternal. Let's share the supper together. Will you bow with me in prayer? Lord, as you once fed the multitudes with bread, so we come hungry for the bread of peace and strength and hope. We ask you to bless us as we eat this bread and are fed by your grace. Bless us as we share this cup that reminds us of our Savior's last earthly meal and the supreme love that we revealed then. In a world of deep divisions, God, we pray that you would let us be one. Let us be yours as we eat this bread. Let us be one and let us be yours as we share this cup. Help us to work and witness and live as one, bound by the unity of your Spirit. We offer our hearts and spirits to you in love and faithfulness. And we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus, who taught us in praying to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And our Lord took bread, and he broke it. He said, This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat. This do in remembrance of me. Friends, take and eat. And in the same way, he took the cup. And after giving thanks, he said, Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this, all of you. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out. We're going to sing this beautiful hymn as we close.
Because it's not exactly familiar to us, I've asked Janine to play through the whole song for us so we can hear it. But please stand and join me as we sing hymn 468. You might want to look at it in the hymnal today so you can follow along. And we're singing verses 1, 3, and 5.
one commercial before we leave. I want to encourage you to be here next Sunday, if at all possible. When Caleb and Ariana are here, Caleb to candidate, what a wonderful thing it will be if he comes and finds a full congregation here this morning, in August, no less. So contact people you know. Deacons, contact your lists. Let's have a full congregation next week. There is power and presence. And believe me, he will be impressed if there's a good turnout. And I pray there will be. Let's bow for the benediction, please. The bread of life has called and fed us. Now go out into God's world to nourish others, to share God's love, hope, and peace. In the name of God, our Creator, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.